Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 30th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad, and with me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Good to see you, too. Enjoying some springtime temperatures here in Maine. How about things on your side of the world?
Very nice here, as is usual. I don't want to rub it in, but it's pretty nice. But I'm glad to hear it's nice in Maine. We've got some cool stuff to talk about this week, Chris. I mean, leading the news this week is something that could be a game changer here. Cornell University scientists have announced the development of a new battery that can be charged in as little as 5 minutes. Hey, I mean, that really is a game changer, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah, big deal.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that coming up. This week, we're saying goodbye, a sad goodbye, to the fastest Jeep ever. And at the same time, we're going to be welcoming a new Mercedes-Benz or Mercedes-AMG model, the all-new AMG GT Super Coupe, one of the variants. It sounds like a cool car to me. I mean, a lightweight car with a 400 and some horsepower, you know, we'll talk about that. Also in the news, we'll tell you about an interesting way to travel to the upcoming solar eclipse, the complete solar eclipse. It's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so we've got a cool way to go about doing that. I mean, and I know you have some plans that on that regard, don't you?
Yeah, we're going to be pretty close here in Maine to the totality, as they call it. So yeah. Can't wait.
I like that. I think I'm going to be somewhere where I can't see it, but you know, that's the way it goes. Let's do a little business here. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury. So imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/autoinsurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Gee, I almost tripped over that. I guess I did a little, but you get the picture. As you longtime listeners know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can save some money on your vehicles. And Chris, what vehicle will you be road testing this week?
I drove the 2024 Toyota Crown Platinum Hybrid Max. I won't say exciting vehicle, but very family-friendly car. I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Yeah, an interesting vehicle, kind of a one-of-a-kind. I was driving something very exciting, the Ford Ranger Raptor, 2024 Ford Ranger Raptor, the introduction of the Ranger Raptor. I went up to Salt Lake City and environs up in Utah, drove off-road, on-road, had a blast with that. So we'll tell you about that. This week, our special guest is Donnelly Baxter. He's marketing manager for the all-new and soon-to-be-introduced Cadillac Escalade IQ, their battery electric Escalade, so we'll talk with him about that. So we've got a ton of show for you this week. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nierad back with you, and it is news time on America on the Road, and the news is maybe good, maybe very good. I mean, Cornell engineers say they have developed a lithium battery that will charge in just 5 minutes instead of the much lengthier charge times that we're seeing now. I mean, just right off the top, you know, from that headline, that could be a game changer, right, Chris?
Yeah, man. I mean, we have EVs that can travel hundreds of miles on a charge now, but you still have to set it a charger for, you know, a half hour or more to get the full benefit. So anything that could shorten that time is a game changer, like you said.
Yeah. What they have announced is not only a battery that can be charged very rapidly, and, you know, this is kind of analogous to filling up with gas, which is exactly, I think, what electric vehicles need to be competitive, but it will also maintain its performance over many charge cycles, charging and discharging and charging again, which is equally important. You can't have a battery that's going to give out pretty rapidly. So very, very interesting, I think. They have done a lot of study, obviously. They're scientists. You know how scientists study. And what they've looked at is the various anodes and cathodes and what's going on there. I don't want to get deep in the weeds on this, and I don't understand all of it. But it, of course, involves electrochemical reactions, including what we all know as the Damkohler number. you know that number too.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the first things I think about every day.
Yeah, when you wake up in the morning, it's like, what's my Damkohler number for this? I say damn, but not necessarily.
No idea what that is.
Yeah, reaction to Kohler. It measures the rate at which materials are delivered to the reaction site. So just how it works, basically. And what they have found is new cathode materials that can create a battery that will do all these things that charges quickly and discharges slowly. I mean, that's exactly what we need. One of the things I found fascinating, too, is they're talking about making batteries smaller because they can recharge faster. And I'm not sure that necessarily that's what we want. I think maybe we still want a lot of range in our batteries. We don't want to be recharging after 100 miles or something like that. But I think some combination can certainly work. And they're also talking about wireless induction charging. You know, that's always the dream. That's the Jetsons kind of thing, right? Where there's electrical energy coming out of the road and it just recharges as it goes. I mean, it's all kind of science fiction coming to life here, isn't it?
Yeah. At the same time, I think anything that makes the EV ownership experience reduces the friction of that ownership experience is a good thing. You know, I have a Genesis GV60 sitting in the driveway right now, and Genesis has been testing wireless charging with it for, what, a couple of years now. And, you know, we still don't have one in the United States that can do that. So, you know, some of this is a little bit science fiction, but like I said, anything that improves the experience, whether it be charging times, wireless charging, range, any of those things is a great thing for the industry.
Yeah. I mean, fast charging time analogous to filling up at a gasoline station is terrific. The fact that you might be able to just pull into your driveway or garage and wirelessly the car would recharge, that would be terrific. So exciting stuff from Cornell. How about those Ivy Leaguers? You know, they seem to know what they're doing. I guess. Here's a little sadder story. It's a goodbye to a vehicle that hasn't been around very long with us, but is the V8-powered 2024 Wrangler Rubicon, the 392. And it is having its final edition. I mean, we're announcing all of this stuff about Stellantis vehicles where, you know, anything with a V8 is going away. And, you know, this is kind of sad, isn't it? The quickest and most powerful Wrangler ever and going out with a final edition.
Yeah. You know, I remember a long time ago, one of my friends had a CJ something from way back in the day, and we jammed a big block under the hood and put a 6-speed manual to it. And that was like the best thing ever. And then Jeep went and did it themselves, although it was, you know, 30 years later or whatever. But it is a shame that, you know, we can't figure out some way to keep a V8 and still meet emissions targets. You know, I mean, they already cut it. Stellantis as a whole has already cut a V8 from the Challenger, Charger, Chrysler 300, Dodge Durango. So, you know, there are a lot of things going on, but I'd kind of hope that they would hold on to it with the Wrangler.
Yeah, just doesn't seem to happen, though. I mean, this will be a cool vehicle if you want to go pick one up. There will be a fairly limited number of them built, I think something like 3,700. It's somewhere in my notes here. But it's going to have cool stuff on it, too, like a standard worn winch, an 8,000-pound capacity winch. So you can get in real trouble and help people out or help yourself out with that. It will have an additional suspension lift. So 11.6 inches of ground clearance, which is great. And it can wade water almost 36 inches, 34.5 inches, so almost 3 feet of water. Maybe people in Southern California who experience rain and drive into giant puddles will be okay with that. I mean, I kind of always scratch my head over why somebody would try to do that, but we've seen a lot of that lately. And then it's got good stuff inside. Napa leather trimmed interior, a plaque denoting that this is the final edition. And of course, under the hood is the namesake of the vehicle, a 6.4 liter Hemi V8, 470 horsepower, 470 pound-feet of torque. This will go 0 to 60 miles an hour in 4.5 seconds. That's quite a sprint in a Jeep, isn't it?
That would be terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the way Jeeps kind of feel like every wheel is going in a different direction when you're going forward, you know, rapidly. It'll do the quarter mile in 13 seconds. I mean, that's fast. And at the same time, it's trail rated. Can do the Rubicon, do all of that stuff. This is a cool piece. Certainly, I'm expecting it to be very, very neat.
Yeah, you know, I think the V8 is very exciting for me in the Wrangler. The torque down low is really what helps that vehicle out, and the sound too, right? That 392, I've tested it in the Durango and a couple of different Dodge vehicles, or the cars. It's an excellent engine, excellent powertrain. So, again, it's a shame to see it go away, but I'm not super surprised.
Yeah. Well, they're going to make 3,700 of them, as I think I said, and it's going to cost, well, $100,000, essentially. $100,000 yeah. Plus destination. We'll see whether they get that, whether they get oversticker, whether they're dealing on them as we go forward. We'll have to find out about that. But here's another vehicle, a vehicle coming to market that I think is very exciting. It's the 2025 Mercedes AMG GT43. And what I like about this, a couple things I like about this, is it has a 2-liter turbocharged engine, that kind of a fascinating turbocharged engine, and we can get into that a little bit. Also has rear-wheel drive. This should be kind of a screamer, 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. I mean, it's not electric car crazy fast, but it's darn fast, and I think it will handle wonderfully. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that's the thing with AMGs, right? So the 43 is not the top dog like the 63, the hand-built engine with, you know, one person, one motor, but they're plenty fast. They're plenty fast for most people. So I've never run across an AMG 43 or even 53 that I didn't like.
Yeah, this would be cool. It has a turbocharger that has kind of electric boost. It's essentially supercharged and turbocharged if you really look at it, because it spins the turbocharger electrically before the exhaust gases do, which helps low-end torque and virtually eliminates turbo lag. So really cool vehicle. I think this is going to be terrific, and I can't wait to see it. I also want to get to this story about the solar eclipse, because I think it's fascinating. And I was also fascinated to find out that one way to see it is to get on a Greyhound bus. Greyhound has identified a bunch of different bus routes that will take you to where you can see either the partial eclipse or the full eclipse. And it's pretty cool, and you can do it for less than $50. I think in some areas you do it for $20 or something like that. Get on a Greyhound bus. They'll take you to where this is going to happen, and I think it's a pretty neat deal overall.
It absolutely is. You know, thankfully, I only have to drive a couple hours north to see the full totality here, but you know, anything that can get people out to see this is awesome. Like, it's one of those things that I really missed seeing. The last one was at 2018 or whatever. We just saw a little blob go across the sun here. So it'd be a great thing for people who don't have a car or can't get where they want to go.
Yeah, this will happen on April 8th. So get your tickets. You can go on Greyhound.com. And some of the routes are maybe better than others. Detroit to Toledo, it's just $16. But you're either in Detroit or Toledo. So you have that going for you. That might be a good thing or a bad thing, depending how you look at it.
That's my wedding anniversary. So if I took my wife to Toledo, she might be upset.
Yeah, maybe so. Houston to Austin, maybe a little bit cooler thing. Or Memphis to Jonesboro, Arkansas. I don't know that I've ever been in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Or Nashville to Evansville.
A
bunch of cool routes here. So get on the Greyhound, take the bus, and leave this solar eclipse to us, and it'll happen. Pretty cool stuff overall. And when we come back, we will be doing some road testing, including road testing of the Ranger Raptor that I was able to drive. And Chris was driving the Toyota Crown, a very interesting and kind of novel vehicle out there. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Christine. This is Jeff. It is road test time. Boy, I love road tests. And we have a really interesting pair of vehicles to talk about. In some ways, you know, it couldn't be more different. In some ways, there's some parallels, I guess. But you were driving, I think, a kind of a unique vehicle. I don't know whether you can be kind of unique. You're either unique or not, I guess, says the editor. But pretty unique vehicle. The Toyota Crown sort of replaces the Avalon, maybe replaces the Venza too. But you tell me. Talk about it.
You never know. I think Toyota intends it to replace the Avalon. I think in my mind and from a feel standpoint, it replaces the Venza. But, you know, since I drove this vehicle a few weeks ago, I've seen two in Maine. Neither were the configuration that I drove, which was the hybrid, the Platinum Hybrid Max trim, which is around $56,000. You can get into this for about $42,000 after destination. But before I go too far, Jack, have you driven this car?
I have, and I liked it a lot. And I found it to be really interesting, you know, what it combines. And, you know, you and I have had the joke about Venza, Toyota Venza, for a long time, where I was a scoffer at Venza and then came to love the Venza just in time for them to eliminate the vehicle. And, you know, there's a bit of Venza in this thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so not to knock Toyota or anything like that. You know, I'm a Toyota fan. I own a Toyota. I've owned several of them. This, to me, is the Venza. There is no, the new Venza doesn't feel like the old one to me. This car does. So you got a five seat. It's basically a lifted sedan here. It's a sedan on a crossover like platform. You have all-wheel drive with the HybridMax the HybridMax powertrain, 340 horsepower, 400 pound-feet of torque. These are muscle car numbers, Jack, from just a few years ago. You have all-wheel drive, a six-speed automatic transmission comes with the HybridMax powertrain. All others get a continuously variable transmission. Toyota does, in my opinion, a good job with the CVT, but I applaud them for adding a six-speed here because it made it feel like a quote-unquote normal car. There was none of that sort of droning, and you know, you can, when that drones, you really do understand where the handoff between the electrified components and the gas components are. And to me, this just felt very cohesive and very smooth. And it's quick enough, right? You have 400 pound feet of torque, so you're not going to be feeling like you're lagging off the line. The Platinum gets 21 inch wheels, which to me is important for this car because it's such a large vehicle. The wheels look okay. The smaller wheels with the other trims, I think they go down to 19 inches, which are still pretty large wheels. They're bigger than the ones on my Corolla, but they look tiny in such a large vehicle. So I think, you know, this is the most organically styled. I don't know how the best way to say that. But outside, you get quad LED headlights, a panoramic sunroof. Inside, the Platinum comes with leather upholstery, heated and ventilated front seats, heated rear seats. And the rear seats in this car, Jack, are my favorite thing probably about this car because they are gigantic. You get three seats back there, and three kids can ride across in three booster seats without any problem at all. And before I go too far, have you, like, taken people anywhere in this car? Have you done any sort of family hauling in the Crown?
I don't think so. I don't think we've had that much opportunity to test the rear seats, but, you know, now that you put that out there, I could see why it would be a terrific place for three across.
Yeah, so my kids are no longer in full-size rear-facing or even front-facing car seats, but I did test one of the Graco larger car seats. I will tell you, if you, which most people don't, install and uninstall car seats all the time like I used to do, but if you have to install it more than a couple of times a month, you're going to be upset because the way the roof slopes, it makes it difficult to fit the car seat underneath the door line. But other than that, Jack, the back seats are fantastic, especially for kids. Adults can ride back there just fine. In terms of tech, you get a 12.3-inch digital gauge cluster, a 12.3-inch touchscreen. Wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto are included as standard. And Toyota's infotainment system, the same thing that's in my Corolla, is light years ahead of where it was just 2 years ago. I think that this interface and the effort that they put into this is transformative for all of their vehicles coming out now with the new system. I think, you know, if you listen back, and we've talked about this several times, just a couple of years ago, all I did was complain about Toyota and Lexus infotainment, and it is, you know, now night and day to where it was. The Platinum has wireless charging, and then also you get Toyota Safety Sense, so a full suite of driver assistance aids like adaptive cruise control, lane keep assist, and then the Platinum adds blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alerts, and things like that. So, you know, I think the price is a little steep for me. You know, it's $55,000, $56,000, maybe $60,000 after options, but you get Toyota reliability, you get an all-wheel drive car that tackles winter like nothing else, and it's extremely comfortable.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific car. I really do. I like the fact it's kind of a little taller than other cars, kind of easier to get into and out of than some of these very low slung cars. Boy, I sound like an old guy talking about this.
I feel the same way. I'm not that old.
I just like it. I just kind of like it overall. It might seem a little awkward in styling to some people. It certainly is different, right? But, you know, I gravitated to it. Maybe it's the weird journalist in me that likes, you know, the oddball car, or it is very cool, and maybe both.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little weird, but all the pieces fit together. And when you're using it, when you're driving it, when you're sitting in it, it all feels like it's supposed to be that way. And it doesn't feel awkward or annoying, although some people probably look at it and it's like, what the heck is that? But, you know, it's a very comfortable car.
Right. Well, very cool. And I'm glad you enjoyed that. I had a very enjoyable time up near Salt Lake City driving the all-new Ford Ranger Raptor, just unveiled for journalists to drive, and I was one of the lucky ones who was able to do that, both on and off road in the wilds outside Salt Lake City. We weren't exactly in the midst of the city for any length of time. An exciting event for a very exciting vehicle. I think it's just such a terrific vehicle. You know, it's easy to kind of lead with the powertrain with this vehicle, but maybe the more important thing is the suspension and what they've done with that, because it is vastly different than the new Ranger's quote-unquote regular suspension, which isn't bad. I had a chance to drive the basic Ranger as well and like that a lot. But this Raptor, very, very cool, long travel suspension. It has a Watts-Link rear suspension, and it has Fox live valve shocks. So anybody who drives off-road knows about Fox shocks and that they work. Work really well with the suspension. And we got the chance to drive it off-road in kind of Baja conditions. There were a couple of dirt track drives that took me kind of back in the day, you know, a little bit of tail out rally driving and that kind of stuff. It was a lot of fun. And of course, there is the powertrain, which I liked a lot. A 3-liter EcoBoost V6, 405 horsepower. Nice amount of horsepower for this mid-sized truck. And beyond that, 430 pound-feet of torque, very advanced four-wheel drive system, very sophisticated four-wheel drive system with a two-speed a transfer case that is on demand. It just kind of functions without you having to do anything, which is good. I guess it's automatic. You'd call that automatic, wouldn't you, Chris?
Yeah.
And front and rear locking differentials, that makes sense. Kind of set up for Baja kind of driving, you know, this West Coast, you know, desert. You go fast, you go at highway speeds across very irregular terrain in the desert. And it just does a remarkable job of doing that. I just like this vehicle a lot. You know, what's your overall reaction, having, you know, just heard about and seen and studied what you have about the Raptor?
Yeah, it's about time that we have it here, right? I mean, the Australians and the South Africans and many other markets in the world have had this truck for a while now, and different variants of it. But I think a smaller truck with that level of performance is a fantastic thing. As we've talked about many times, you know, the smaller trucks provide good capability for people who want to do truck stuff, but one that also does the sand dune blasting, hopefully snow dune blasting in my short future here, are great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense. They have beefed up a lot of things in this thing. I mean, it has a box frame to begin with, and then they have beefed that up, and they have added additional material in the front shock towers, the rear shock brackets, suspension mounting points. They just toughened it up. For one of the things we did with this thing is we jumped it, and that was a specialty of mine back in the day when I was at Motor Trend for photography. I would fly cars a little bit, of course, across whoop-de-doo, so it took me back, and I had some fun with that. It kind of is not great for a car. This vehicle is a little better for that. It has multiple drive modes, including off-road, rock crawl, and Baja. We tested it with the various drive modes, and you can feel a difference. It makes sense. It changes all kinds of calibrations. It changes the engine, transmission, ABS, you know, the brake system, traction control, steering, throttle response, and then you get different presentations on the screen. So it does a lot of things, and useful, I think. And then I think your neighbors will appreciate this. It has a active valve exhaust system that can operate in quiet, normal, sport, and Baja. So when you start it up in the morning, you know, on that main morning, you don't have to wake up every neighbor by doing that.
So, you know, it's funny. One of the people down the street from me has a Volkswagen Jetta with a busted exhaust. And when they start their car in the morning, my other neighbor texts me and says, "Shut your Corolla off." Because I think it's me. So, yeah, that would be very useful here.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And I like the fact that every neighbor knows what every other neighbor is driving. And
yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's very cool. It has trail control, which is, you know, essentially cruise control for the trail, which I got a chance to use. And that's a fun thing. Although, I have to admit, I kind of like feathering the brakes and doing all that myself. This is just a great out-of-the-box vehicle built for off-road tires, of course, all-terrain tires from BF Goodrich, and big 17-inch wheels that carry these 33-inch giant tires with big sidewalls. So this is really set up beautifully well, you know, out of the box for all kinds of off-road driving. And I think it's somewhat pricey, but at the same time, I think it's a really excellent value. I think, again, you have all this stuff that's tested by Ford Motor Company, developed by them, engineered by them. So I'm just really excited about what this provides in terms of value.
Yeah, I would have bought one had my Corolla not popped up ahead of time. But, you know, all that stuff with a Ford warranty is it's hard to argue with.
Yeah, absolutely true. Well, very cool. I can't wait to drive it in my own environs, but it was great to drive it in Salt Lake City. And my thanks to Ford Motor Company for letting me do that. I do appreciate it. When we come back, we have a terrific guest for you. His name is Donnelly Baxter. He's the marketing manager for the all-new Cadillac Escalade IQ, their battery electric vehicle. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Inner peace, self-respect, emotional fulfillment. Are you finding these worthwhile goals difficult to achieve? Are you looking for success and satisfaction in your job but not finding it? Are you thinking about starting a business but don't know what will set it apart from all the others? You can continue to struggle on your own, or you can unleash the undeniable power of the GR Factor. I'm Jack Arnierad, host of America on the Road. For years, I've found success in business and in my personal life by using the concepts I outline clearly in my book, The GR Factor. Your best self is inside you right now, just waiting to be unleashed. Inspiring all that is the best in you, the GR Factor will guide your journey, elevate your game, recast your relationships, and transform your daily life. If you want to change your life for the better, read The GR Factor. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at emlancey.com. That's The GR Factor by Jack R. Nierad. Thanks for checking it out. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nierad back with you, and we're at the Chicago Auto Show, as you might grasp from all the surroundings here. We have a terrific guest for you, talking about a really interesting vehicle, and I can't think of a better expert on this vehicle than Donnelly Baxter, who is a marketing manager for the Escalade IQ. Thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this amazing vehicle.
Well, go ahead. Why don't you tell our listeners what it's all about, because it's really exciting, isn't it?
All right, well, we have the first ever all-electric Cadillac Escalade IQ. Being an electric vehicle, obviously range is what comes to mind first, and we're happy to say that we have segment-leading 450 miles of range.
Wow, that's eye-popping kind of range.
Yep, so any fear of range anxiety or where do I find charging, that's pretty much out the window. You can just hop in and drive this car like you would any other vehicle. So you've got 450 miles of range in a three-row, full-size luxury SUV that's loaded with technology, craftsmanship. It's really the epitome of luxury driving.
I mean, the question I've got to ask is, how do you do this? Because we have seen just a handful of three-row electric SUVs. They're nowhere near as big as an Escalade. They don't have the capabilities of an Escalade. They don't have the comfort of an Escalade. And they don't have that kind of range. So walk us through this whole process, because it's a big thing, isn't it?
Yep, we have a phenomenal design and engineering team that worked very closely together to deliver a beautiful vehicle that delivers incredible performance. So starting with our Ultium platform, that's what delivers that EV experience. We've got a 200 kilowatt hour battery that powers two motors, so four-wheel drive is standard on this vehicle, And with our incredible aerodynamic performance, that's 15% better than our current vehicle.
Wow.
The vehicle smoothly cuts through the wind, and it all comes together to help give us that 450-mile range.
I mean, competitive vehicles are lucky if they're doing 300 miles of range, and they're not really competitive in terms of size either. I mean, I've got to believe, I have not been in the vehicle yet, but it's probably a full three-row, just like an Escalade, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. We listened to our Escalade customers and delivered everything that they wanted and then some. They all come standard with three rows of seating, so seven passengers. You can choose standard bucket seats in the second row or upgrade to our executive second row, which is on our show car. But all Escalades come with three rows of comfortable seating with plenty of cargo space, not only behind the third row, but also since they don't have a gas engine up front, we have an e-trunk that has 12.2 cubic feet of storage. So it's actually big enough to fit two sets of golf clubs lengthwise. And to make it easily usable, we also have a storage tray as an accessory that slides out.
Wow.
So you can really maximize that space.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's more storage space, I got to believe, than the regular gas-powered Escalade, isn't it? Is it not?
Yep, it's pretty much, it's on par with where we are with the current Escalade. We went a little more expressive with the design, so you can see our roofline slopes a little bit more, and the rear window's a little bit more sloped. But combined with our front and our rear storage spaces, you've got the same space in a beautifully expressive design. Again, in a vehicle that delivers all the practicality you're looking for, you can carry the family.
What is the max passenger capacity?
Passenger capacity is seven. So it seats seven. You've got the option of two different bucket seats in the second row, and you've always got that three passengers third row.
Got it. So the third row is the three passenger.
Yep.
Always.
Always, yep.
Yeah. And Sirius, I think, cargo space behind that third row seat, right? Do you happen to know how much space is back there?
Off the top of my head, I don't. I can double check it for you. But combined with the front and rear storage spaces, we're right on par with our current Escalade in terms of interior volume.
Okay. Talk about horsepower. I mean, we hear a lot about the performance of electric vehicles. Certainly straight line performance is something that they're known for. Talk about power and torque and that kind of stuff.
Yep, with our Velocity Max mode, you've got 750 horsepower, 785 pound-feet of torque, and the benefit of an EV is you've got instant torque. So in that mode, you've got 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds. So big, full-size luxury SUV with presence, three rows of seating, all the cargo capacity you need, and it'll still do 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds, which is comparable to our Escalade V in our current vehicle, all standard in every Escalade IQ.
What is the typical horsepower of the gasoline Escalade these days?
We've got 420 horsepower, 460 pound-feet of torque with our 6.2 liter V8. And in the Escalade V with a supercharged 6.2, you've got 682 horsepower and 653 pound-feet of torque. So that one's a rocket ship too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how did they compare price-wise? I mean, how is the IQ? It probably hasn't been officially priced. Maybe it has, but talk a bit about pricing. So.
Yep, our IQ starts around $130,000. The way it's equipped, it's about $170,000 for our show car. And it really delivers a lot of featured standard content. So you've got not only four-wheel drive, you've got standard air ride suspension with magnetic ride control, so it rides beautifully. You can't talk Escalade without talking wheels. Escalade currently has 22-inch wheels. Our IQ has 24-inch wheels.
Wow.
Largest ever offered on an Escalade.
Yeah. My 26 Nash has 26-inch wheels.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, that wide though.
Yeah, and this is wrapped in 35-inch tires as well, so you still have a nice sidewall to give you a comfortable ride. Big, bold styling, and again, you can't talk styling either without talking about Escalade. It's always been known for presence. It's a vehicle that when you see it, it's unmistakable. And we like to say that you don't just show up in an Escalade, you arrive. And this Escalade IQ is big, it's bold, it's very sophisticated in terms of design, but it's unmistakable.
Yeah. Talk a bit about the design. You talked a little bit about the sloping rear roof line, a little bit sportier, I think, than the current Escalade. But start us at the front. I mean, the face of these luxury vehicles is often really expressive. Talk about that.
Yep. Starting with the front, we have an illuminated crest and an illuminated grille. And it's got a nice little party trick. It's got a walk-up animation that greets you to say hello as you walk up to the vehicle, or it says goodbye as you walk away and reverses that pattern. So just walking up to the vehicle is a beautiful experience.
That's not audible, right? It's a light that says that.
It's illuminated, yep. Yeah. It's lighting only.
Cool.
So a great spectacle as you walk up to the car to give you a sign of things to come. And it's beautifully proportioned. We've got a really long dash-to-axle ratio and a long hood, which just fits in with classical proportions of high-end luxury vehicles. So just looking at it,
it looks stunning. Powerful. It's interesting, too, because you have that front trunk. There's no engine up there. There's no real need for that length between the windshield and the front of the vehicle. But at the same time, that kind of expresses power, doesn't it?
Yep, and it gives us that expression of design. And like you said, going back to the 30s, the longer the hood, the more cylinders under hood, right, the bigger impression of power. And that mantra, that design element, has kind of stuck with the times. So we give you that impression of power, which the vehicle backs up with that 750 horsepower.
Yeah.
And then rather than have it be wasted space, we give you lockable storage area to keep things, keep your valuables secure. It's watertight. So really,
yeah,
design
and out of sight, you know, which
exactly
is nice.
Yeah, that, so yeah, design and engineering coming together to deliver one cohesive vehicle.
Talk about tech inside. I mean, infotainment systems are so critical these days. A lot of people make decisions based on that. Walk us through that.
Yeah, well, the show stopping here doesn't just stop with the exterior. Once you hop inside, sitting in the driver's seat, you look at this beautiful curved 55-inch pillar-to-pillar screen, which is thoughtfully integrated as well. It doesn't look like an afterthought. It was the key element based on our customer feedback, and then we crafted the interior around that. And what's really nice as well is on the passenger side, if you're just driving alone, that side of the screen acts as kind of a screensaver just to give you that visible impact.
Ah, okay.
But if you have a passenger sitting in that seat, we have a digital blind, so kind of the privacy screen you would have on your laptop. So if you're on the airplane, someone can't see what you're working on. We have a digital
version. So my wife can be communicating with her boyfriend and I won't know when
exactly.
Yeah.
Or if she's watching her favorite movie,
yeah,
there's no distraction for you, the driver.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. And second row seating, you talked a little bit about that, but I think there's kind of luxury class available in the second row.
Yep, we have new for Escalade as our executive second row. And this really comes from customer feedback again as well. We have a lot of celebrities, athletes, heads of businesses that get driven in their Escalade, and they're looking for that same front row first class experience in the second row. So we did just that. We took our front seats, we put them in the second row. You've got 14-way power adjustment. Not only are they heated and cooled, but they're also massaging. And if you want to maximize productivity time, in the center console, you've got fold-out airline-style tray tables, so you can grab a bite to eat, get some work done. Or if you want to just sit back and enjoy the quiet silence of our electric powertrain, there's independent rear seat monitors that you can sit back and watch a movie and relax. Mm-hmm. Or just sit back and take in the stars in our massive panoramic glass sunroof that really fully goes from the front all the way to the back of the second row, really opening up the interior, making it nice and airy.
Yeah, yeah. Or just starlit at night and very romantic, if you want.
Exactly.
Going on. What's your favorite feature? I mean, there's you're talking about a lot of stuff, and we kind of glossed through the infotainment system pretty rapidly, but what are some of your favorite features of the new Escalade IQ?
Yeah, I've got family that lives about 8 hours away, so longer drives are key to me to go and visit them. So the hands-free Super Cruise is phenomenal. It allows you to hop on the highway, sit back, activate the system, take your hands off the wheel completely, and it takes control. And if you're approaching a slower moving vehicle, it's actually smart enough to check your blind spot. If there's space, it'll signal, it'll move over to the passing lane, it'll pass the vehicle, and then it'll signal and move back into that original lane. So it's really an incredible self-driving system that takes the stress out of driving, which after a long 8-hour road trip, you arrive nice and refreshed. And the IQ's range really allows for that road trip with that 450 miles.
Yeah. I mean, that's a game changer. It really is.
Yep.
I mean, when you're looking at something that's 250 miles, even up to 300 miles, kind of on the edge a lot. I like to put in 500-600 mile days, sometimes 1,000 miles. And,
yep,
you know, that in a car that has to be recharged every 250 miles, that's a kind of a pain.
Yep, so that's a thing of the past. And when you do need to recharge, if you stop at a level 3 charger along the highway, you can add about 100 miles of range in only 10 minutes.
Really? Okay. What, is it 800-volt system?
It's an 800-volt system, and it'll fully maximize those 350-kilowatt level 3 chargers.
Mm-hmm. Any provision for like cold weather charging and those kind of things?
We do have a cold weather testing center in Kapuskasing. We've had it for decades and decades, and all of our vehicles go through cold weather testing to make sure that they can withstand the harshest weather. And Kapuskasing's in northern Ontario, and if anybody's been there, you know it gets pretty cold.
Yeah, I can imagine it's cold. Even southern Ontario can get pretty cold, right? You probably have a little experience with Canadian things. I have
a little bit, yep.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us about this? When is it going to come to market? You've told us a bit about price.
Well, it's a 2025 model, but we're happy to say it comes to market late this year, late 2024. So in not too long a period of time, we'll be seeing them everywhere.
Very good. Well, I'm excited to drive it. Thanks so much for talking with me about it. Donnelly Baxter, who is marketing manager for the Escalade IQ. Thanks for being with us. We really do appreciate it. You shared a lot of really interesting information.
Thanks for having me.
And that was our interview with Donley Baxter, marketing manager for the all-new Cadillac Escalade IQ. Thanks to him for joining us. Excited about that vehicle. It'll be interesting to see. And I think we have some time for a listener question or two. So let's go to this listener question. This is from Lonnie in Akron, Ohio, and he asks this. I'm looking for a used car, and someone told me that I should look at what rental car companies put on sale. Is that a good idea? And how do I go about doing that?
Yeah, I've actually done this before. I bought a 2008 Toyota Highlander from Hertz rental car probably 15 years ago now. Almost every major car rental company has a section of their website that has basically like an Auto Trader style list of cars that you can view that they no longer put in service. And these are cars that are, you know, mostly recent model years. I think at the time mine was 2 or 3 years old and had 80 or 90,000 miles on it. But the thing is, you know, you're buying a car, again, that is not that old, that has been regularly maintained. I'm going to put air quotes around that for people who are on the radio and not on video. And, you know, at a big discount. So you get a big price cut off the top. Now, the second half of that, Jack, and you've heard this statement before, is what is the fastest car on the road? A rental car. So people tend to abuse the car that they don't have to deal with after the 2 or 3 days that they deal, you know, drive it over the weekend. So, that's one of the things that you should keep in mind. I think, you know, a pre-purchase inspection is a big deal to these things. But the cost differential could be very compelling for a lot of people. I think on the flip side of that is when you go to sell this car, if you want to trade it in later, you kind of have that, I'm not going to call it a black mark, maybe a gray mark on your Carfax report that it was once used as a rental. But I think if you're going to keep it for a while, it's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree. We've done this a couple of times, bought cars that had been in rental service. A lot of times, as you mentioned, they're going to have more miles on them than maybe the typical car of the same model year will have. And you have to take that into account. But you also have to take into account that these cars are being looked at, you know, every few days, actually, you know, maybe weekly at least. I mean, oil is being changed and that stuff, in theory, is being done more likely than it would be if it were in the hands of a consumer, I would think, who is leasing that car for 2 or 3 years. So because the rental car companies don't want these cars to fail in people's hands, right? They want them to work well. That's the last thing they want is a failure there. So there's several things in favor of looking at rental cars, one of which is it's one price. You know, they put the price out there and either you're going to pay it or you're not. You know, you can check that out and check out what the market will bear. So it's certainly worth looking at. I mean, a typical local dealer with used cars, that's a great source. Buying from somebody you know and trust, a personal purchase is another good way to buy a used car. But there's nothing wrong with looking at rental cars as a source of fairly late model used cars. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and I should point out a pre-purchase inspection should be part of any used car purchase, even if you're buying it from somebody that you think you trust. I think, you know, having a second set of eyes on everything is the best plan to buy a used car.
Yeah, absolutely true. Well, when we come back, we'll answer another listener question or two and sum up the automotive week for you. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road for our final segment this week. I'm always sad when this happens, Chris, because I like talking with you about cars, but it's always enjoyable. And we have a listener question to answer here, so I'll dive right in because time is short. This is from Richard in St. Paul, Minnesota. He says, summer is coming, and I'm thinking of buying a convertible. I've never had one, and I don't see too many around anymore. Is this a stupid idea?
Well, a couple of things. I think, for me, where I live, I don't know where you live. I mean, I don't know what the weather is like every day in your part of the world. But for me, a convertible is only really viable a couple of months of the year. And during those couple of months, it's extremely hot and not that much fun to actually be sitting in the sun. At the same time, I think if you're going to buy sort of a fun car, a quote unquote fun car, a lot of people steer away from used convertibles. So if you buy a used one, you probably get a pretty decent discount on it compared to like a coupe or, you know, a hardtop of the same ilk. And, you know, I mean, they're a lot of fun, but, you know, if you're going to buy it as a weekend car, you can live with the limitations. If you're going to buy it and drive it during the week, are you going to be able to live with the soft top? I mean, I think there are a lot of questions that you need to ask, but for me, the price differential might be the selling point here.
Yeah. Well, I love convertibles. They are in a lot of ways a toy car or a Saturday morning car, I think, although you could live with one as a single person, I think, reasonably successfully. You know, Rich is in St. Paul, Minnesota, where they have weather that's maybe analogous to what you have in Maine. But at the same time, in the Midwest, I remember people just revel in the summer. So it's great to have a top-down car in the summer. And, you know, I love driving around my 62 Corvette in the Midwest with the top down. It was just a blast. So some of the nicest drives I've ever taken were in convertibles in the Midwest. So I think there's a lot to like about it. It's not a stupid idea. I think you have to understand the limitations of a convertible. Even a purported four-seat convertible is probably much better equipped to carry two. They don't have a ton of trunk space, but they're a blast. And there's kind of nothing like driving with the top down.
Yeah, and you could also split the difference with something like a new Corvette where the hard top comes off and you don't have a full convertible, but you know, you have an open top and you can throw the actual roof back on when you want to drive at highway speeds. So
absolutely true. Very, very cool. Well, again, another crazy week in the car industry with a lot going on, and maybe this battery breakthrough will change things. Very cool there, don't you think, Chris?
I do. I think, you know, anything that improves range, reduces cost, and cuts environmental impact is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely true. Before we go, I'd like to mention my newest book, Dance in the Dark. It's a crime thriller inspired by true crime. It's available on Amazon in both ebook and paperback form. So if you're looking for a read for a spring vacation, that's something you might want to look at. If you like America on the Road, our show, please pass it on to others. We would really appreciate that. Listen to it on this radio station each week. Let others know where you listen to it. And of course, you can get it as a podcast too, can't you, Chris?
Yes, absolutely. A quick Google search for America on the Road podcast will bring you to all of our major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all the others. So please pick your favorite, download us, and leave us a review.
Yeah, we'd appreciate that. A 5-star review would be just swell. We'd love that. And thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the road. A special shout out to those in the American forces around the world. We'd love to love them and are thankful to them for their service. And most of all, we want to thank you for listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices, so the fact that you're listening to America on the Road honors us, and we appreciate that. And join us again right here for another edition of America on the Road. I got this letter from a reader the other day, and I thought I'd share it with you. I'm on vacation on the beach in Key Biscayne and just finished reading Dance in the Dark. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great plot and twists I never saw coming. You're really good at creating visual images. Congrats, you made my vacation all that more enjoyable. This is just the kind of feedback an author loves to hear. I'm Jack Nerad, host of America on the Road and the author of Dance in the Dark, a crime novel inspired by true crime. Many have told me that Dance in the Dark has all the realism of Fatal Photographs, my true crime account of the famous bathing suit model murder case. That's great to hear because Dance in the Dark is filled with suspense, plot twists, and surprises, but at the same time, it's a believable story in the tradition of writers like James M. Cain, Jim Thompson, and Elroy Leonard. I'm not saying it did happen, but it could have. Dance in the Dark is available in paperback and Kindle ebook form from Amazon.com, and it's available direct from the publisher emlancey.com as well. If you have a chance, please look for it. If it makes your vacation better, we'll both be happy. That's Dance in the Dark by Jack R. Nerad at Amazon.com or emlancey.com. Thanks for giving it a look.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.